We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper.
Got it! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I can't even keep myself together right now, but I'm here as always with the elated Rohan Kadi. Rohan, tell the people why we are so excited right now.
So, as of around 15 minutes ago, no, it's been like half hour already. Wow. We got the Shams alert of a lifetime. Maybe not a lifetime, but it feels like it right now, saying Milwaukee star guard Drew Holiday and the Bucks have agreed to a 4-year maximum contract extension worth up to $160 million. It happened, Ty.
Let's go. I mean, this is, I feel like outside of, you know, actual play, which we'll get into later in the pod, the last thing that was really weighing on me about the Bucks this season was, we need this extension to get done one way or another. I think we've talked about it on like the last five podcasts. I think every single time we said, hey, we don't care what the dollar ends up looking like. Get that extension done. Drew Holiday, far too important to the Bucks. He's up there with Giannis in terms of closing games for the team. He's been a closer on this team. And I don't want to have that exact debate right now about which of those two, but I think it's those two, right? And that really encapsulates how important he's become since the All-Star break. He's just been tremendous. I know Jordan Chesky tweeted the numbers. I can't even talk right now. Recently, Jordan always with the Fire Bucks content, but Drew Holiday, just a hugely important player in the 12 games since the break, 20.8 points, shooting 54, 44, 89 shooting splits, over six assists, over five rebounds, nearly two steals. The guy has just been phenomenal. I think he is pretty clearly right now the Bucks' second best player. I know on our Spinsters pod, we agreed, or at least you posited, no matter what, who is better, him or Chris, he might be the second most impactful player. I think now both things are true, and I think the Bucks locked him up long term, which it just had to happen. If this didn't get done, I'm entering official panic mode. So the number is the number. We'll get into that. But I think my first reaction, I know what my first reaction was. I literally yelled, let's go. This had to get done. Thank goodness it got done.
Yes, for sure. That was my exact reaction as well. Just absolute elation, as you would use it in your adjective thing. I can't talk either, man. That's the type of feeling we're getting right now, because we've seen Drew Holiday just absolutely dominate, like you've mentioned, the last few weeks since he's come back from, you know, unfortunately contracting COVID. And he's just come back on a tear, an absolute tear. He's definitively the Bucks' second best player. That's not even close anymore.
Yes.
I think that's, we can have that debate a little later, like you mentioned, but I think that speaks more to Drew than it does to Chris, though. It speaks to both, I will say.
Yeah. I don't even want to sour these good vibes.
No, we can't.
With the second part of that conversation right now, I think it does speak to both. But I think more importantly for this deal, I think it's not like Drew showed up and was okay and Chris didn't play well, so he became the second best player. Like, Drew took the mantle. Drew snatched the, I mean, I don't want to say crown, right? As it's like the second best player, the scepter. I don't know what he snatched something away from Chris to become that 30-year-old Drew Holiday, going to be in Milwaukee, I presume, for the next 4 years. Carlos said overpay, and then just kidding. Yeah. We'll get to the number very shortly. But before we get to the dollars, are we assuming that part of this, he declines his player option and then the deal starts? That's what I would assume, but I guess I'm not. No, wait, I think that's it.
Yeah, that would have to be the case.
Would it have to be, or does he have the option?
I think he has the option, but I think he'd rather make $40 million than $27
million. Yeah, I mean, you get more locked-in money if you take it all. Obviously, like, you get 5 years of guaranteed money after this instead of 4 years, but I think that... Yeah, I think you'd want to just bet on yourself and have the earning power personally. I mean, look at guys like Kyle Lowry in their mid-30s are still, like, no question getting, if not max, very close to max deals. So I think if Drew ages as well as Kyle Lowry, it's going to be a no-doubt contract. I think it is anyway. I'll try to look here while we're talking about the player option or whatever. I assume my running assumption is that it's declined, and this is Drew will be here for 4 years after this season. But any concern from you whatsoever about the money on this thing, Rohan?
Absolutely not. Absolutely none whatsoever. I'm glad you mentioned Kyle Lowry, because he is going to be dictating this point guard market. And as we saw in the sort of trade speculation, sort of things that were, you know, sort of floating around regarding Kyle Lowry, is that he wanted an extension on the table when he got traded to a new team, if he got traded to a new team, which he didn't end up doing. But that's with the assumption that he's getting a massive deal in free agency. And the two teams that really have cap space this upcoming free agency are going to be, what is it, Miami, Toronto, Dallas, all the losers of Giannis staying, which, by the way, that's just a giant middle finger to them again, which is just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. This is a win in all regards for just pure spite. And also just the Bucks. So I have no concern with the money whatsoever. It will not end up being an overpay, because if you get a ring, there's no overpay whatsoever.
I mean, this is the rate of business in the NBA. If you have a player who we can dictate all-star or whatever as long as we want, if Drew stays anywhere near his current level and his current role on the team next year, I think the all-star thing is just going to be open and shut first, just because I've already seen that going. Right, he hasn't been an all-star since 2013. He's going to be one in 2022, unless the Bucks somehow add somebody else or Chris just surges to such an extent. But I feel like his comfort level and familiarity with the Bucks now going forward, I just think I don't think he's going to miss out handily next year at this time or a little earlier or whatever. I did just look it up in the CBA FAQ, so it can be extended either way if the player or team opts in or opts out. As long as the extension adds at least two new seasons, if there's an opt out, which obviously this one does. So I think we just won't know for now. I think it's safe to assume that that it's going to be the 4 years. Cody says Philly fans saying overpay are hilarious after paying Tobias 5 years, $180 million.
I mean, in all fairness, Tobias has been great.
This year. It hasn't always been the case on this contract this year. And Carlo has some good numbers in the chat, if you're in here on the app, of what it's going to look like. And it looks like with the bonuses are going to be big. And there's a player option in year four. We just learned from Shams Charania. So player option in year four. I would assume that the player option is definitely declined then. He said year four, which to me indicates that there are 4 years on this extension and on his contract. But I've heard that the bonuses and incentives and contracts are supposed to basically remain very similar on extensions. I was told that today. So I would assume that Drew's contract will be laid out. It'll basically look a lot like his current contract. But I'm with you on there's no way this thing is going to be an overpay no matter what. And I think what people are really forgetting or just ignoring, because like nobody wants to ever say the Bucks won anything, right? Like that's the Bucks don't win in the eyes of quote unquote national media.
Check the location of people who are spewing the hate. Just say that. Yeah. I'll just say that.
A lot of Canada, a lot of Pennsylvania, a lot of California happening right now. But I think, and probably some Bristol coming soon, but the Bucks can't do anything anyway. Justin just put this in the chat. There's no alternative, right? Like they're not going to have cap space next season. Like if Drew opts into his player option or just opts out, they're not going to have functional cap space, right? There's going to be no way to acquire a player close to Drew Holiday's caliber. Like what? You're going to let him walk to not pay him whatever, $6-7 million more than you want to. Again, it's such a small number. If you lose the player over that, it's ridiculous. And if you don't pay it to him and he leaves, what, you have a bigger MLE? You can go get another DJ Augustine. You better keep that open. We need that flexibility. No, like you keep Drew Holiday no matter what it costs. The guy is way too important. We gave John Horst 2 upstocks for this deal, not even knowing the full details and everything. Player option is great for Drew. I'm fine with that. I have no issue with that either. What matters is...
That's the John Horst special right there.
Yeah, that's a great point. We should have known from the jump there'd be a player option on any John Horst contract. But what matters is Giannis and Drew for the next 5 postseasons. That's what the Bucks have now. 5 straight postseason runs, 4, I guess, pending player option. But, you know, half a decade of playoffs with Giannis and Drew and whatever else the Bucks can assemble, and probably Chris. I'm assuming Chris is going to be around, but that's what matters and that's what's important. Giannis is not ever going to be a Buck without any help around him. The team is going to do what they need to do, overpay or not. I don't think it is. I don't think it can be. I agree with that take, but I think you need to admire the fact that no matter what, the Bucks were going to not let Giannis be like him. And then maybe Chris, and then nothing else. Like, there are reinforcements. There are great players on this team. And I think at this point, it looks like the Bucks are going to be able to contend, given health, every single year for Giannis' Supermax.
That's just, can we appreciate that for a minute? Can we appreciate that? That's incredible. What this, like, I'm not one to just pander to this organization. No. Yeah, we'll say that.
Correct. Yeah.
It's very, very, it's an incredible job. It is an absolutely incredible job. We've seen teams and franchises sort of just completely mess this up around their superstars, and then they're just left with nothing. That's not what's going on with Milwaukee. That's not at all what's going on with Milwaukee. They actually surrounded Giannis with elite talent, and they've kept that talent, and they've built contender year after year, and they're going to have contenders, like you mentioned, for the next like half decade at minimum. That's incredible.
Correct. Justin asks, is this the full amount in years they could have offered? I think yes. I think it is. So the maximum a contract can be, unless there's like it's a designated extension or something, is 5 total years, and that counts this year that's still here. So yeah, the player option must be gone because it's 4 years on top of this current season. You can't sign a guy longer than that under the CBA. And it sounds like they're giving Drew as much as they can, given the current structure of his contract and incentives and unlikely and everything else. So it might end up actually looking like less on the cap than it does what he actually gets paid, which is like, to me, it's a win-win. Like, please spend that Bucks ownership money on Drew. But if there's a little bit more room to sneak in a biannual or whatever, then let's do it. So it does seem like they backed up the truck and said, here's what we can give you. Please stay. And Drew said, hell yeah, let's do it. I'm finally on a team with a generational big man who is going to put me in a position to win in the playoffs, which I think is what he wants to do.
Music to my ears. Music to my ears, Ty.
Mm.
I think this is just a general thought. This season by Drew and Giannis and this Bucks team is a massive indictment on Anthony Davis.
Oh, well.
Is it not?
I had to lean into it because I'm seeing that that's like, I mean, I'm seeing Bucks Twitter lash onto that idea. They had some horrible injury luck. It's not great for Anthony Davis, I will say. I mean, they looked amazing when they beat Portland, but the flip side is, I think every year they lost in the playoffs, they lost to the Warriors. and it's just kind of hard to beat the Warriors. So in all seriousness,
some
I don't
years think they didn't even make the playoffs.
Well, I know, but usually when they did, it was like Drew played 60 games and Anthony Davis played 50 games. And it might be more an indictment of Anthony Davis's health than anything else. And like Eric Gordon not being good, Buddy Hield not being good, the West being good. I think it's overblown. I think it's fun, but I think it's overblown in all honesty.
I think I'm going to lean into it.
That's fine. Let's tackle. And I'm not necessarily calling Hassan a hater in the chat, but let's tackle the Brogdon question that is going to get floated every time. It's probably, but and Cody just said, like, everyone's just tired of hearing about Brogdon. But do you guys think that paying Drew $160 million and giving up five first-rounders is better than paying Brogdon $85 million? Here's the thing. Like, if it makes them more likely to win a title, then the answer is yes, right? Like, isn't that the whole goal? Like, I think NBA analysis just gets too caught up in assets and cap and everything else when it's like, I remember the Lakers had no assets and no cap and they couldn't do anything. And then they got Anthony Davis and were like ready to win titles. I just feel like the teams just, and it's not that I'm not trying to hate. No. It's, I think it is a valid question. I agree with Rohan, but I see why people are tired of talking about it. I think this was not the optimal path. I think the optimal path would have been retain Brogdon and not get the picks from Indy and then flip him in the Drew trade and give up less picks. I certainly think I would rather pay Drew more than Brogdon and have Drew. Like, I think the ceiling is just higher, no question. And health concerns, there's some with Drew, there's more with Brogdon. So give me Drew for sure. Like, I want the highest ceiling possible, even if it's not, you know, the ideal VORP per cap dollar spent or whatever. I don't care about that. Like, I want the highest ceiling possible with Giannis on the team. The picks is unfortunate, but I don't look at it as one or the other. Like, the you have to look at decisions are made one at a time. And where the Bucks were at the time that they acquired Drew and then paid Drew, I think they did the best they could in both cases. Like, you need to go get that guy if you can get that guy. And now it's looking like, now that he's locked up, you know, give up as much for CP3, given that the Bucks were in a, you know, against the, in a, over a barrel, I guess, in a barrel going over a waterfall when they were trying to acquire a star player this summer to pair with Giannis. Yeah. All of the terrifying euphemisms. They would have had to just give up whatever they could, I think, to get anyone.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would rather have Drew going forward than Brogdon, than CP3, who I don't think you want to sign to a five-year total contract at this point in his career. DeRozan, whoever else. Bogdan, give me Drew. They got Drew. I think
Drew,
that's 100%.
Drew as your best, like your second best player, is title worthy. Brogdon as your third best player is not, at least in my opinion. Like, because that's what it would have been like. Because I don't think Brogdon is better than Chris Middleton.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Ty again, this time to talk to you about hosting your own podcast with our distributor, Blue Wire Pods. And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle is created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So, if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about the Bucks, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check the description box in this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. Oh man, we're just kicking a really tough Chris Middleton conversation down the road here. I'm going to keep kicking though. We're going to keep kicking that conversation.
As much as possible. We're going to We're going to keep enjoying this Jrue Holiday talk because I said this earlier. I just want to appreciate the moment. It's incredible. We're seeing reactions from some of the players. We saw Bobby Portis tweet like right now, worth every penny. Congrats, Jrue Holiday. We saw Jordan Wara with a heart. It's just, it's great. And even like Shams in one of his tweets, he says, since his trade to the Bucks in November, Holiday better familiarized himself with the roster, coaching staff, and front office, and wanted to commit to the franchise and years of competing for championships in Milwaukee. That's incredible. And also, we cannot ignore this fact, is that we have retained Jrue and Lauren and the Holiday family in Milwaukee as sort of great people in the community and helping out the community as they've been doing and will continue to do, which is beautiful.
The Bucks are just so easy to root for right now. Giannis, Jrue, two-man core going forward is such a fun two-man core to root for. Like, I feel like our best Giannis and Jrue content is ahead of us, and that's really saying something.
Yeah, it really is. Like, we're starting to see flashes of it right now, and actually, I don't even think we are. Because we're seeing a little downspell from Giannis. I say that as he just scored 47 points last game. But you know what I'm trying to say here. We're seeing like, oh, it's that point of the season where he's resting a bit. And now we're just seeing Jrue just go absolutely nuts. What happens when they both go absolutely nuts together? We haven't seen that yet.
What happens when they're drunk on a float going down a street in Milwaukee after the championship during the parade? Like, that's the content I'm waiting for.
I think I'd pass out. I think that's the end.
We're going to be there somehow.
100%.
Hopefully. Yeah. I think at this point, we'd probably be able to do something in person. I think we're, enough people are getting vaccinated. Hopefully we can get there. Cody brought up the last Jrue point I think I want to touch on before we transition to the Bucks stocks and everything else. He said, we'll be interesting to see how this extension is viewed in the short term versus how it is viewed after seeing his playoff form in a Bucks jersey. Like, first, I think it's going to turn out, you know what the tweets are going to be in the playoffs? It's going to be the same that they have been all regular season from Bucks Twitter, where it's like, send New Orleans more picks. Like, this was robbery. I think it's going to be like, can we give Jrue more money? Like, can we make it 8 guaranteed years with five player options?
Can we sign him to the Supermax even though he's not eligible?
Right. Like, I think that's what Bucks Twitter is going to be feeling after some playoff games with Jrue. This is my last meaningful take. On Jrue Holiday, not ever, hopefully. I don't think we've seen his best Bucks basketball yet. Like, I think when the one time he was in a winnable playoff series, not against the Warriors on the Pelicans, it was him and Anthony Davis, and he annihilated Damian Lillard and put up just ridiculous numbers on both ends. And you can just tell, like, he's built for those moments. Like, he's built to activate that higher gear and leave it all out there and win. I mean, we've seen it in the regular season too. We've seen him go win games that were kind of in that in-between space of like one team's going to take over and win. Jrue is a guy who can take over the game and win it for your team. The Bucks needed that. I think Giannis is working on that. We're seeing some closer Giannis too. You can't have enough of those guys, right? Like, look at the 16 Cavs when they beat that amazing Warriors team. It was like LeBron and Kyrie just like going back and forth, like keeping up with each other, both dropping 40. And I don't mean to compare those two players directly, but that's the idea of
why
like,
not? Let's enjoy who, that.
Why not? Who's the closer? There can both be the closer. Like, let's trade buckets. Like, let's make it so everyone's ready for Jrue to do something and then Giannis does, or vice versa. That's the situation you want to be in. And I just think the best Jrue Holiday games are yet to come. I think he is literally sorry, Bled, but the inverse Bledsoe of like, I think you're going to see his best ball in the postseason when the Bucks need it most. I don't think he's going to shy away from those moments. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the playoffs.
We're seeing that right now in the regular season, like these last couple of games, because Chris and Giannis have been in and out of the lineup. Giannis hasn't been himself, like I mentioned. We're seeing like, oh, Drew, we need you to go win this game. He's like, fine, I guess I'll do it right now. And then he'll go win the game for the Bucks. Every night in the playoffs, he's going to bring that. We've seen that from him, and he will do it. Like, that's going to be Drew Holiday every single minute of every game in the postseason.
Yeah, that's the one perimeter player on their roster who, like, can have the ball anywhere and within 4 seconds be shooting a good shot no matter what, right? Like, he has the handle to get to the rim, and his touch around the rim is just obscene. Like, it looks like he shoots – it's almost like hook shots. Like, his layups are so interesting to watch. Yeah, it's like – it's almost like he's a big when he's down low, but they always go in. Like, it's ridiculous. His step back threes this season have been simply absurd. Like, clearly that was something that he was working on, and the results are showing. Like, feels like he's never going to miss those. He can get his own shot whenever he needs to. That's so, so huge to the Bucks. And then, I mean, someone in the chat, let me grab the name, Matt, said it's great for the culture of this team in the future. I think, like, yes, like, just how great of a person he and Lauren both are, is part of that. Also, like, he's literally making them better defensively by bullying Bud into switching. Like, he's huge for the culture and just the way the Bucks play in a way that is, like, bigger than most even good players are. Like, his importance to the Bucks, it's really hard to overstate at this point.
Yeah, it's absolutely obscene what we've been seeing this season. There's a reason every time Drew Holiday does something on the court that we mentioned, that we notice, we just gush all over it, because we haven't seen this type of player in Milwaukee during this era. We haven't, and now we have it. And I can't wait. I can't. Is it playoffs yet? Is it playoff time yet?
We gotta get that one seed. May 22nd. I want that one seed. Yeah, I think it's late May.
Yeah, I think the 22nd is game one.
Yeah, I think that one more question before we get to our stocks. Bucks stock market, we're going to start that very soon, do our moves, and just talk about everyone's prices. Drew Holiday, coincidentally, the second most valued Bucks stock. Literally before this extension, the last four games have all been up stocks for Drew. Like, he's been great every night. It's reflected it. No one has a longer active streak. It's not even close. I think Brooke Lopez has a streak of two positive games active that nobody else has more than one. So Drew has just been as so crucial. Hassan asks, just what do you guys think the Bucks need to change going forward to fix their playoff struggles? Put the ball in this guy's hands. They just signed more is like the answer. I think there's a lot of answers, you know, getting Giannis moving more. The dunker spot has been good for him to make it harder to barrier him off. But having Drew and playing smarter on both ends is going to be huge for this team. So I think it's going to be an entirely different look from the Bucks, and that's what's been exciting about all the stuff they're trying right now, switching or the ill-fated zone, which I think there's some potential there, but more pick and roll, like other looks offensively, is like, that's the kind of stuff you need to be able to do, and they still need to iron out, you know, not everything is not perfect here, but almost all of it in some way, shape, or form has to do with Drew, which is why I think he's just so important to this team.
I have one thing. I want to know if they gave Drew pens.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe we haven't heard anything about pens this whole time. Like, I hope so.
I honestly, I really hope so. Maybe it's like Drew's not completely, he's not one of them yet. He hasn't been like on the roster for a while. Obviously the Giannis extension was more impactful than this one. So maybe that's why there was a whole thing being made about pens. But I want to know if Chris and Pat, maybe Giannis even joined in on the pen thing, maybe gave them to Drew Holiday. That's something
he probably just passed along the pens they gave him. What is Giannis doing with pens? I don't know if Giannis is writing down stuff by hand all that often. I guess actually,
I feel like he's one of those guys.
He's a notebook guy. He takes a lot of notes. So I lied. He probably has used up half those pens already.
He's learning a lot from Drew.
I think, and vice versa, maybe. Okay, stonks. Let's do stocks. Buck Stock Radio, folks. We got our moves to make on the Buck Stock Market. We both have 20 to spend, right?
Yep.
Big moves this week. You're beating me now. Your portfolio is worth more, 246 to 225. Part of that is Budstock no longer being such an albatross, only at -2 right now. Part of that is you just have like everyone's freaking stocks available. Oh, and we're actually, no, it's more than that because horse stock went up, but I'll update that later. Horse stock now valued at 4 after the Drew news, but we both have 20 to spend. Neither of us, our shorts did not pay off. You shorted Bryn. He went, I think, up, down, up. So net up. I shorted Wara. He just went up. Good week for Jordan Wara. That was fun, especially this last game on Saturday night. But are you selling any Bucks stock? It feels hard to sell Bucks stock right now, but is there any moves you're making to move off of any stock?
I'm going to go with no for right now.
You're holding on?
Yeah. Actually, this is tough. This is the Drew news completely threw off my plan
for
what I wanted to do here. I don't think I can sell anything.
I'm going to sell my share of Chris Middleton.
Oh!
It's time to have this conversation. It's time to have this conversation.
Okay, now. Let's do it.
Chris starts the week worth 19 per share, goes down to 18, comes back up to 19, goes back down to 18. So a net negative for Chris. Justin said if you guys lost money on shorts, the numbers would not look good. Yeah, they would look terrible. We'd be buying like PJ Tucker every week and nothing else. But I'm going to sell my one Chris for 18. It's just concerning, man. Like the performances lately, I think at one point he was 1 for 11 last night and he kind of puts it together and then has a terrible turnover late in the game. We were texting during the game like, oh, maybe he's going to get himself back up to a neutral value day. You know, maybe he's not going to get the down stock for his performance and just an ugly turnover late in the game to kind of keep Sacramento involved. It's just been tough. And I just feel like, I don't know what's going on exactly, but it feels like something. It's another one of those games, I believe, where he scored 15 or less, which he's done nearly as much as he scored 20 or more since the start of February. Something I need to see him play well for like 2-3 straight games before I'm a believer in him again right now. Like I'm just so concerned about his level of play. I need to see some sustained excellence and I'm not seeing it right now. So I just want to move off the stock in case there's even more tanking. Also, big reverse jinx opportunity here. So you're welcome, Chris.
Yeah, let's get into it. So Chris Middleton has not been great. I've said this like the last week now. He is clearly the third best player on the Bucks. And that's,
yeah.
I don't know if that's really been affecting him, really. Like Drew is sort of like supplanted him as the second best player on the team, and that's gotta, you know, mess with the guy a little bit. Who knows? But he's looked off. He has not been finding his spots. He's been trying to get involved. The team has been trying to get him involved. We saw at the beginning of the Portland game on Friday. Immediately, like the first couple possessions, just like give the ball to Chris, let him get into a rhythm. And it doesn't really happen. We don't really see that sort of go. He ends up shooting like 8 of 13 from the field. He gets 20 points, but still that was like a great game for Chris Middleton in that regard, because it was the first time he'd scored 20 since like late March against Boston. Like that's the type of games we've been seeing from Chris Middleton right now. It's kind of disappointing given that we have been two of the biggest Chris supporters out there in the entire world, I would say. So it's really tough to see what he's been doing. However, that's why you get a guy like Drew Holiday, right?
Yeah.
Because he is capable of being the second best player. It used to be there was a clear hierarchy of Giannis, then Chris, then Bledsoe. Because Bledsoe was not ever playing at a level where he could supplant Chris Middleton. He would have stretches, like let's say during the regular season, but it would be like stretches, like a month-long stretch or something, and not really anything you would expect to sustain. Now with Drew Holiday, and which is why it's even better that he's locked up long term. Thank you, John Horst. Thank you, Drew Holiday, for signing once again. We're seeing that, okay, we have another guy who's capable of being the second best player. And at times, like, he can be the best player on the court. I don't think that's that's not far-fetched. Chris Middleton is not doing that. And he's clearly the third best. He's the third option on this team. And that could end up being a good thing. It could. like Chris as your third option is really, really good, especially if you do get Chris sort of getting out of the slump a little bit. As we know, he tends to get into slumps and then he gets out of slumps, then he gets back in. He's such a streaky and moody player. It's so disappointing to see it like this, because we know what he's capable of and he just doesn't do it. It's disappointing. It's very disappointing. He is playing at a level where it's just disappointing.
Yeah, over his last four games, Chris Middleton scoring 17 plus six assists, which is nice. At least he's been diving a little bit, which is good to see. Just under five rebounds, of a steal and a half per game, 43% from the field, 33% from three. Hasn't missed a free throw in four games, though, which is good because he had some weirdly bad free throw shooting at times earlier this season. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not as bad as it feels, I think. And I know somebody in the I think Justin made this point. His numbers don't even look terrible, like season long, even recently. I mean, 17-6-5 is not, or 5-6 is not terrible. It's just not that good. And it's just, there's so much floating. Like, I feel like he ends up with 16 points in the Sacramento game Saturday night, but for the longest time, he had like two to four points going into the second half. I think potentially even in the fourth quarter. I don't remember if it was late third or early fourth when he finally started to, you know, make some shots and get into it and get to the line a little bit, which was desperately needed in a game without Giannis Antetokounmpo in the lineup. But he's just been a little too floaty for me. And I don't know if it's the adjustment with Drew now or what it is, if it's just another Chris slump, like we have seen these in the past. I hope we don't see any come playoff time. It is interesting to think about, though, like how the game could change for him as a third option. Like, I almost feel like I want a lot more catch and shoot shots for Chris, like especially in a big playoff game when you really, and this is, I hope the Bucks do this year, like take every possession seriously, guys. Like, let's not have Dante DiVincenzo taking a Drew Holiday fadeaway from like 15 feet that hits front iron and is damn near a turnover. Like, let's take possession seriously. Let's, you know, have Drew and Giannis on or very near the ball at all times. If Chris is operating a lot off ball and like catch and shoot threes and like playing like almost Klay Thompson-esque, I feel like he could be an absolute weapon, but it's just difficult because his role and what we've wanted to see and what the Bucks have wanted to see has fluctuated so much. I mean, when he first sort of emerged onto the scene as a player people cared about, like nationally, he was that 3-and-D player. And now, I mean, the issue with him being Klay now is the D hasn't really been there all season. It'd be nice if he is asked to do a little less dribbling on offense, maybe that comes back a little more. And I don't want to take the ball out of his hands completely, but maybe run some of those plays that they run for Bryn Forbes and Sam Merrill, like run him through elevator doors and get him wide open and shooting. Like maybe that'll help everything else come together for him. We know Chris can hit a set shot from anywhere. I think the Bucks could use working more of those into his shot diet here.
Yeah, I like that you brought up the Klay Thompson sort of role, given he's not the shooter that Klay Thompson is. Klay's like a top two shooter of all time, and he might not be top two. Yeah, like, or not be number two, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton as a third option is the defense in the playoffs. Okay, so our immediate concern is Giannis, obviously. So what we're going to do is we're going to scheme our entire team against Giannis, and then what we're going to do is we're going to float around to you know, sort of the second option in that role after, you know, Giannis sort of gets flustered a little bit. We'll say that if that happens. So then it goes to Drew. So then you're still focused on Giannis a bit, and then you got to focus on Drew. And then it's just, then there's Chris. Like, okay, what do we do?
Yeah.
With maybe zero guys on him on the weak side. And that's where he's going to need to thrive. He's going to need to thrive as a tertiary option. He can still be a play. He can be a secondary. He can be a tertiary playmaker, even primary in some sort of sets. But that's where he be maximized, right? Like, he's going to be asked to do less. So we're going to see less sort of like Chris forcing things, as we saw late in that Sacramento game. And we're going to see him put up just ungodly numbers because he's not going to be really defended. This is like, yeah, bringing it back to Drew again. You have to send two guys at minimum at Giannis, and then you have to focus on Drew as well. So who is going to guard Chris Middleton? Who? Like, there's only five guys on the court for the defense.
Yeah, no, and I think this could be a really nice way to, I mean, his Chris's handle issues are obvious, right? I think probably easily to identify that as the weakest part of his game, especially just if you look at his offense. So
he's gotten better.
If you can get, he's gotten a little better, but it's still, I mean, it, out of everything he does offensively, if you ignore the defense and some questions there, like his shooting from anywhere is great. His finishing has improved. I think his finishing is better than his handle relatively. The handle is the weak point. So get Chris the ball with open space so there's not as much pressure on him defensively. I mean, if you think back to those ugly Raptors games, Chris was able to get shut down because the defense was able to really hone in on him. And I think like what you're saying, that shouldn't be an option for teams anymore. So I think now what I think this is the experiment that Bud's kind of been running all year is like, he really tests like how much, I'm trying to think of a generous way to put this, non-beneficial players on offense that Drew can carry in Drew and bench lineups, or like Drew and Lopez in bench lineups. And I feel like the test is like, if we can get Drew and a lot of guys who aren't Chris and Giannis to be net positive, then we can always keep Giannis out there with Chris. And I think like Chris running a pick and roll, he's actually got some pretty good chemistry with Brook Lopez too. But again, it's the same philosophy of like, make it so nobody can entirely lock in on Chris Middleton. And if Giannis can be out there in all of Chris's minutes, then there's already going to be a less expectation on Chris. There's already going to be like, if you send a double at this guy, all he has to do is find anybody. And the rest of the players are now playing 4-on-3. And when one of the four is Giannis, that's a really bad position for the defense. So I think Drew and bench slash, you know, Dante and Lopez, whatever, Drew being the only big three guy able to carry lineups is huge for the Bucks, because then you can always keep Chris out there as at least the second guy. And I think that's probably what you want to do. I don't think you want a ton of Chris as the first guy. And again, in big playoff games, I don't care if he's the only starter out there against like Sacramento, but I think in against the Nets, like keep Chris and Giannis together as much as possible. I think that's going to be beneficial for both players.
For sure. And that's what he's going to have to do now. Like, he's going to have to be sort of, you know, I don't want to say minimized, because minimized makes him seem like he's not actually a good player.
No, he's got to slide him down the totem pole.
Chris still commands attention. I wouldn't consider him a third option come playoff time. I'm not saying that he's a third option. I guess I sort of am saying.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're not saying it as an indictment of Chris. It's just a fact.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because that's like, you have to give what the defense gives you. You can't just say like, oh, Chris, you have like three guys on you. It's your turn. You're our secondary option here. Let's go do this thing. No, if they're focusing on Giannis and Drew, then that means Chris, you're the third option, right? That's kind of how it's not like, that's what I'm saying. It's not an indictment on Drew. Like, not an indictment on Chris, excuse me. I'm all over the place. It's just gonna. It's an adjustment.
Yeah, you're good. I think that's adjustment. I think. I think that's the Chris outlook right now is he's slumping a little bit. We think he can get out of it, and Drew becoming more on ball should theoretically be a good thing for Chris. Have you thought about any sales or anything, or should we go right to buying? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was gonna go straight to buying, and that is why I'm buying a Chris Middleton.
Oh. Oh, look at you. Okay.
Believe in it.
Yeah, Oh, I'm a non-believer now, huh?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Fair enough. I'm buying a Drew on the other side. That's why I wanted to make a move. I felt like to honor this occasion of Drew Holiday signing, I had to buy a share of Drew. So I will invest one for 23. I have 15 left to spend. You have 2 left to spend. We've joked about, you know, who I would buy in this situation. I've got to think about it and make the numbers work. I think you know what low lift pickup I'm going to make here momentarily, Rohan. And you got a let's go from Justin for believing in Chris Middleton. Who do you want to spend your $2 on?
I said I wasn't going to do this privately to you.
Oh.
But I might have to. I'm going to buy 2 Jeff Teagues.
Oh, look at you. It's a good day. We're making his identifier Jeff, by the way. I can't hate on anyone today.
Yes. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, Jeff Teague's on the team now. He's officially on the team.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really mention this.
Last episode we were sort of like, what's happening with the point guard situation? Still no news on DJ. Oh my goodness, Austin Rivers.
Ugh.
He hasn't signed anywhere else.
I think let's circle back to the point guard stuff here. I want to make my last moves. I'm going to buy one Wara, one Merrill, one Teague. I'm going in on the young guys. I've liked what I've seen a lot lately. Merrill's been good when he's played. Now Wara's suddenly in the rotation again and looking like maybe he should have been all along. Maybe everybody was right there. He's been playing, I think, very well. There's definitely some rookie mistakes and you know, that stuff's going to happen with a young player, but I'm glad he's getting run. Like, he can clearly contribute. And I like Teague as well. I like the way he's looked, man. Like, he seems like a different player now that he is no longer in Boston. I think just some negative energy with Boston and point guards. I feel like every point guard who has not been on the Celtics then been on the Celtics, like, they always look better when they're not on the Celtics. Like, Marcus Smart might leave Boston and be like a no doubt all NBA player or something with the rate of how this has gone. So I am just very excited for Teague being able to contribute 15 minutes of, you know, probably knock down an open shot here or there, but more importantly, moving the ball. And I think we've already seen it. Like, he's penetrated a little bit and found like dunker spot players. He's found shooters. Pretty sure he had 5 assists in the game against the Kings after having 2 assists against Portland. So in his first 2 games, 7 assists for Jeff Teague, already way more per game than he averaged with Boston. I'm a fan. I think hopefully he's not playing a big role come playoff time, but I think he's played pretty well so far.
Yeah, it's hard to really complain given, like, we can talk like, is this the right move or whatever beforehand? But right now it seems like it's going okay. They desperately needed a backup point guard. It's clear now that Jeff Teague is sort of actually playing well in the system. It's really missing when they traded DJ Augustine in a way.
Yeah.
So it's been good to see Jeff Teague sort of fitting in those minutes when Drew is not on the floor, just sort of being a guy who's capable of, you know, calm things down, being able to dish the ball. And he looks quick. He's still quick.
Yeah, he looks spry. Spry, my favorite word this season. He looks spry out there.
That's not what he is anymore. He's not if he ever was. But that's just asking a lot from someone who's probably
2 blocks,
not going to see a lot.
2 blocks against Portland.
He did have 2 blocks against Portland, which was wild to see. Did he block like Norm Powell on a drive at one point, which was wild.
I thought he blocked Dame. Did he block Norm or Dame?
Oh, did he block Dame? It might have been Dame.
I thought he blocked Dame, but I could be wrong.
Or it could have been both. We'll see.
Yeah, 2 of them.
But yeah. Jeff, he's not going to be playing a lot, hopefully, when the games really matter. It's because hopefully Drew Holiday is out there just dominating in the regular season. Like, he's fine.
Yeah, no, totally agree. So I think as we get ready to, we have to do shorts at some point as well, but we're all out of monies now. Actually, let's do shorts first. Let's do shorts before we get to kind of the last roster spot is what is remaining to talk about, right? Like, is it Rivers? Is it going to be McLemore? We'll find out. We don't know. To spoiler alert, we don't have a scoop coming later. But we'll talk about what we think and what we would like to see. I'm gonna short Pat Connaughton. Everyone knows I love Pat. We recorded a whole podcast about how much we defend Pat. Just hasn't looked the greatest lately. I think he's in a little bit of a shooting slump. And he's like, with PJ Tucker out, he's just asked to do a lot. Although with Portis back now, it might be minimized, so this might be a bad short, but I'm going to short Pat. And again, I hope this is a nice reverse jinx and he goes and hits 4 threes in the game against the Warriors just for me.
Yeah, he had to go out there after we went out there and recorded a whole pod, like you mentioned, about how he's not games in of this season.
Yeah.
It's weird. We didn't see Portland Pat. We usually see Portland Pat, but he didn't really show up. Maybe he's saving it.
Saving it for Boston.
I don't even know who to short here. I might have to. I might short Wara.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
He's definitely a fly too close to the sun kind of player. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's going to be seeing a lot of run lately, like we saw mistakes, he was not great offensively or defensively in terms of his shot selection, sort of rotational awareness in the early parts of that game, in parts of his run, which is, again, it's understandable. He is a rookie. He hasn't played a lot of NBA minutes, but he did get better as the game went along. Credit to Bud. He actually kept him in there, let him learn from his move, immediately pull him so he doesn't learn anything. Mm-hmm. He kept him in there, and he actually turned it around and played well, even earned attention. We're going to see some more mistakes. It's going to happen, so I feel like this is a safe bet.
I don't disagree. I think it's really, really good logic from you there. Quietly, I feel like a pretty good Bud week, no? Like, I think I kind of mostly liked what I saw. I mean, there's obviously always going to be some warts and some issues, but I think overall, I like the coaching this week. I think it was reflected in the market. He went down and then up. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It's been
I
kind of
forgot about that. But overall.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah. Okay. Do we have anything
like to see that? We like to see that. No, I think it's just the last roster spot now, which I guess Austin Rivers may be signing. We literally have heard nothing about this guy since the Bucks were the leaders in the clubhouse, so to speak, to sign him. I don't know if Teague looking good makes it less likely, but I feel like it definitely has made it feel less urgent, which is hilarious because we were so gung-ho about they better not lose Rivers for Teague, and Teague plays two okay games, and already I can feel myself like, I feel a lot less passionate about Austin Rivers now. I think I'd still like to add him the most out of everyone out there, especially because he's not strictly a point guard positionally, but now Ben McLemore is available. He hasn't been that great this year. I think Rivers over McLemore for me. But Rohan, what are you thinking about the last roster spot and these buyout options?
I'd still love to see Austin Rivers on the team. I think he is priority number one. Because I think even though we've seen like Jeff Teague, and he still provides more than what Jeff Teague is doing. Though, like you're saying, like Jeff, right? Like he's making it like less of a urgent need, I'll say that. But the McLemore possibly being available for Milwaukee, like he is available, he's been waived. It's interesting. We're seeing he's really struggled this year in Houston, but who hasn't with this Houston team? It's 3.1% from three, 43.1% from two. It's under 8.3%. The game, just he's shooting like around five times a game, or excuse me, seven times a game. It's not been great. This is by far the worst stretch of his, you know, actual career. But like I mentioned, this year is not it for anyone in Houston. We've seen like even PJ Tucker was struggling, and then he comes out just, you know, completely looks like a rejuvenated player before he got hurt. And then, I don't know, we maybe could see the same with McLemore. Like, he does provide, like, he's another wing that's, you know, tested and proven, right? And that's, like, you can't really have too many of those. And if Austin Rivers is not actually coming to Milwaukee, I would not be opposed to Ben McLemore signing at all.
Yeah, I think I agree entirely. What I like about McLemore is he's almost reminds me a little bit of Tucker, and just the fact that, like, the adjective that comes to mind is hard-nosed with McLemore. I feel like I trust him defensively in, I don't want to say big moments. Like, I don't think he's a closing five kind of player, but I do, like, I think he holds up on defense. I think the shot probably going to fall a lot more in Milwaukee than it was in Houston. The Rockets are literally a basketball wasteland right now, but this was a guy that I wanted to come back in, like, variations of trades we were looking at. Like, I think one of the deals we looked at way back when was like a Brook Lopez for PJ Tucker and stuff or something like that. I don't remember exactly now, but I do remember like the salary kind of worked for Macklemore to be in there too. And I was like, oh, would like to take a flyer on him as a two-way wing who can play defense and hit some threes and is someone that you said you kind of believe in, even if the numbers aren't great. So I don't know if I'd rather have Rivers or Macklemore. I think it's a little hard to go wrong. I feel like both are pretty good options for the Bucks at this point. I thought point guard just felt more like there was more of a desperate need there, but I think Teague has looked good. I think Merrill's looked okay when he plays. Obviously Drew is going to play, you know, the main minutes there. And that's thank God for that, as kind of full circle here. Thank God he's extended. So yeah, I guess I don't feel that strongly. I think probably a higher ceiling with Macklemore, higher floor with Rivers. But I would like one of them for sure. Just it doesn't look like there's going to be that many more plus players made available before the, you know, for the rest of the buyout market, I'll say.
Yeah, like could potentially be available is the ghost of Marcus. He's seemed a little unhappy with Andre Drummond. He's even said like, we'll see for him finishing out the season with the Lakers. I think that was a point blank question that was asked to him.
That's amazing.
At an Andre Drummond's first start, even though Drummond got hurt against Milwaukee, Marc Gasol still did not play until like garbage time, realistically. So we'll see. I would not like that signing for Milwaukee. Maybe just to get him off of another team, just out of fear, but just previous wounds, I guess. But
I would take him for sure. Actually, I would take him. I mean, I feel like, yeah, if you run into a big man that especially I think Embiid, and no, to play defense and pass, that's all he's interested in doing. Like he's not interested in scoring anymore. He's past that part of his career. He doesn't care about it. You know what? I'm fine with it. Everyone has peculiar tastes in the world. I'm not going to shame Marc Gasol for not being a big points guy. I think his defense and passing is still quite good. I think you can do a lot worse for like an emergency play big man, but also it seems like he's a little unhappy with not playing. So maybe it won't actually work, but I do think like he's still a moderately good player. I just think it wasn't a great fit there and they just wanted more from him than he was able or willing to provide.
Yeah. He's not going to really play a ton. Like rotation, and Giannis, obviously. So I don't think that signing would even occur. I don't know. You could also sign Rivers and Macklemore by cutting a player.
I wonder what player would be a good fit to cut.
Yeah, maybe. The team, I guess, doesn't even like, because they don't mention him at all. I think April 13th is when they can sign both players and stay under the tax, even after cutting a player, I believe.
Oh, so good to know.
Maybe we'll see some news next week. Maybe that's what they're waiting for, Rivers.
I was going to say, if the Bucks talked any of these buyout guys into just chilling on the couch for a while to wait until they could sign Karuks and duck the tax this year, because clearly they're going to be in the tax next year. So I don't think ducking the tax this year is about whatever, like $4 million or whatever it would be. It's a repeater tax move, which I do kind of get. I don't love it, but I kind of get it. If they were able to talk Rivers and Macklemore or somebody else into just chilling for a couple weeks until they can sign them, that is two more upstocks for Horst. Like that would be an incredible power play. I'm not going to hold out hope that that's the case, but that would be like absolute boss moves. Like I would have to give it up. Like they made the cheapness and the best possible upgrades happen simultaneously. That's not easy to do.
Yeah. Like Horst might actually be like an elite GM at this point. Or is that a lot?
Potentially.
Like he's proven I'm that not he's there. Actually like,
he might, maybe this upside. Very good.
There's this upside. Like there are the mistakes. We've seen the mistakes. Some of the contract structures are a little dicey.
Player option guy, big player option guy.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe that's what you have to do to get these players to sign. Who knows? We don't really know the ins and outs of that. I don't know.
I don't know. Everyone on Twitter seems to be in the negotiation room when they grade these deals, Rohan. So
I don't know. Yeah, you could convince Drew Holiday to take like 20 mil or something, apparently. Because who's
I'm surprised NBA teams haven't thought of that more of like, hey, what if we give you less money? Would that work? I think a lot of armchair GMs are convinced they're really onto something with that that strategy.
Yeah, it's would take it this way. Would you as a player turn down would you want more money or less money?
I don't know. Is it worse? Is less money worse? It's hard to say.
I mean,
who can say, Rohan?
Less money. Who knows? If you test free agency, you might not even get that.
That's true. Yeah, I think negging is probably not the great strategy. Some people seem to think it is.
Just a distrust in terms of like, oh, we don't think you're worth this much. Go. For keeping players.
Yeah, right. Like that's how you build a strong relationship. Just say a bunch of negative stuff, really make them feel bad about themselves, and then go, I'll give you $25 million a year, I guess, even with all these warts and everything, Drew. It's you know, I'm a good guy, so here.
Yeah. My goodness. Hey, it's okay. Drew Holiday has signed.
We went full circle, and I think now we've officially covered everything.
Yeah, I will say, good teams, good franchises like Milwaukee actually get their players to stay. Unlike some others.
Oh, there's the clip unload I knew would be coming at some point.
I mean, who's left this
I mean, technically Brogdon, but I know, I didn't mean to get back there again.
Yeah, technically Brogdon, but that was sort of, that was the Bucks' control. Realistically, like if an actual player like left like unrestricted free agency for to take like us, there's Wes Matthews.
Yeah, I guess Robin Lopez, but he got more money. Not the kind of players you're worried about is the conclusion, I think.
Not your best players aren't leaving this team to play for another team, another franchise. That's not what this team does. They keep their good players. I wish if only every other franchise could say that, Ty. Maybe they wouldn't be so salty about things.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't have as much cap space in 2 years, Rohan. So, I mean, kind of evens out in the end, right? Sign these guys who all re-upped with the Bucks. Yeah. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
They're always chasing.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Oh, my God. Okay, do we have any last minute Drew things?
Oh, the joke I was going to make. Oh, I said it's a timely that it's an Easter podcast because Brook Lopez has resurrected his stock price. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Brook Lopez, but that was going to be my opening line pre-Drew. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it. That's all I've got. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It doesn't feel as good as it did earlier. So much going on, but no, I think now we're good.
Okay, so do we have anything? So we can wrap this up here live on Locker Room. Say everyone who's here, thank you. Thank you for listening live. We do this every Sunday. And if you're listening to this on podcast form, so you can join in all the fun and react with us when exciting things happen. So, you know, just chuck us a follow. But, you know, we still appreciate you if you're listening to this recorded on a pod. And just in general, thank you for listening to Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy the show, please subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Leave a rating on that. Tell all of your family and friends about the show. Check out the content, all of the content across the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Stay safe, everyone, so we can celebrate the Milwaukee Parade in Milwaukee with actual people. So please stay safe, and we will talk to you next time.